21st Century HR is a podcast exploring how to build better businesses through modern people practices and approaches. It's brought to you by my firm, Amplify. Amplify provides HR executive search and strategic consulting services that help companies build better organizations. From employer brand development and execution to global talent strategies, Amplify develops custom solutions that help clients from Hootsuite to SpaceX optimize their recruiting capabilities. Amplify also hosts a new community for HR leaders called the Ecosystem. The Ecosystem was designed to bring modern HR leaders around the world together to share ideas, inspiration, and support. Learn more at amplifytalent.com.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to 21st Century HR Live. I'm your host, Lars Schmidt, and I'm excited to introduce today's guest. So, occasionally on these episodes, I get to talk with, colleagues, people I've collaborated with in the past. Occasionally, there'll just be people whose, work I admire, but haven't had a chance to spend a lot of time with them in person. And occasionally, I have people like this who are actually, good friends who you've got lots of miles with, who also happen to be in the same space. And so I'm really excited to introduce my friend, Will Staney. Will is a seasoned recruiting and employer brand practitioner and now business leader. We're going to get into his company, Proactive Talent. He's the founder and CEO. He's been building that business over the last several years. We're going to dig into that, how obviously COVID is impacting, his world, both as a entrepreneur and business leader, and then also somebody who is very much focused on the, from a service perspective, the recruiting and employer brand space, which is certainly being impacted by all things COVID. So let me go ahead and bring him on.
Hey.
Will, we've got Will. So Will, man, thanks so much for coming on the show. I just gave a brief introduction on you, but let me actually turn it over to you. So for viewers that aren't as familiar with you and your background, I'd love for you to just do a quick introduction and tell them who you are and what you're all about.
Yeah, sure. It's good to see your face, man. Thanks for having me on. Will Staney was a TA leader for about a decade at companies like VMware, SAP, Twilio, Glassdoor, and then started my firm, Proactive Talent, about 5 years ago. And we really focus on holistically on everything talent acquisition. So talent attraction, employer branding, content promotion, content production, agency of record services. And then on the hiring side, we do on-demand recruiting, recruiting optimization, ATS implementation. So really, sort of all-in-one partner to talent teams.
Cool. So, you are really in a unique position as our world has been turned upside down over the last couple of months. So, as I understand your world, you're really being hit on more than these three fronts, but just specifically around your business. You own a small business, you have employees, you work in the space of, both things related to recruiting and employer brand and talent and things that are obviously, kind of upside down and in some cases contracting, in some cases expanding, but certainly probably not the year you forecasted going into 2020. So just at a high level, I want you to answer how this has impacted your business, what you're seeing, and just a quick reminder before you answer, if you're watching this, if you're streaming on wherever you're streaming it, this is an interactive show. So if you have questions for Will, wherever you're streaming, just ask your question in the chat window, and I'll do my best to bring those to Will on air so we can answer them for you. So with that, Will, let me turn it over to you. What are you seeing right now? What's your last month been like?
It's been a journey. It's been last month to 6 weeks has really been around reforecasting, getting a lay of land as much as you can. It's really impossible to forecast right now. But this was going to be our big growth year. Over the last year, we've been making a lot of investments in our business and building up a leadership team. We've hired, Jim Stroud as our new VP of marketing. We've got a principal both over our talent attraction side and our agency and our hiring and consulting services side, who are just amazing talents. And this year was starting off rock solid. In January, we had our biggest new customer acquisition. We were working with startups to large businesses across multiple industries, and then COVID hits in March, and I think we're really lucky compared to most businesses in our space because of just how diversified our client base has been. It's also been an interesting seat to be in and see how COVID is affecting all these businesses differently. And that's the thing is this coronavirus pandemic has been affecting every business and every individual, but how it's affected them is so vastly different. And that's what's been really interesting to me. And so, you know, we are on this big growth path. And then I'd say the part of our business that's been mostly effective is the stuff that's reactive, right? That's right now. That's the, you know, the clients that we're working with on an hourly hiring, like on our on-demand recruiting services, right? So hourly recruiting, immediately companies that were in full growth mode, pause all hiring. Because when there's uncertainty economically or health-wise, that's what companies do. They pause and try to see what's going on. And so, but we are still very strong on some of the employer brand that we're doing. We're working with clients that are in the front lines of the pandemic. So what's also been really interesting to see is that, you know, we're kicking off employer brand engagements where we're helping, you know, companies like Postmates build their global employer brand. And then, you know, boom, in the middle of a pandemic, and you have to completely, you know, switch up your strategy and the stance, and whatever strategy we had built in January is now obsolete. And we're having a whole new normal to prepare for. And so just being there with our clients and going on those journeys with them has been such a learning experience.
Yeah, let's talk about employer brand for a minute, because it's such an interesting time, I think, for this space. And I had, you know, Susan Lamont on Tuesday, and we were riffing on it a little bit. And you know, you have spent as much time as anybody in this world. So like, I even had some clients I was working with where, you know, like you mentioned with Postmates, you're kind of working towards something, you're getting ready to roll something out, it's gonna have a big Q1 debut, and then this hits and it's irrelevant, right? Like, it's tone deaf for the times that we're in. So like, what, when you're working with your clients now and advising them on developing a pandemic employer brand, essentially, right? Like, what should that look like? What recommendations do you have for clients or any kind of employer brand practitioners who are watching on, you know, what they need to be doing, what they need to be thinking about, the kind of messaging that's going to resonate with the audience, and perhaps, you know, as well, stuff to avoid, right? Like, stuff to just shutter that may have been on your content calendar for 2020 that is not going to be seen the light of day for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love some of the stuff that Susan Lamont's putting out. It's been great. And I agree on several of the points. And, you know, what you probably know is, in addition to Practice Talent, in my consulting practice, you know, I've started Talent Brand Alliance, which is a community for, you know, employer brand leaders across the globe. We have over 1,000 members in that community who are all sharing what's going on right now. And the common theme that I'm seeing, and we're having a lot of member meetings about this too, that I'm seeing is that it's similar kind of what I said. As a business owner, you have to kind of focus on the now, and forecasting is and talking about the future or even the past is obsolete. It's really the same thing with your employer brand right now. It's all about action and what you're doing in this moment right now, and showing that experience right now, because sharing that video of your in-office environment isn't going to be real to the experience of working at your company right now. And you know, one of the big things I'm seeing too is there's been a lot of companies that are damaging their employer brand right now just through not being intentional or careful about how they handle this situation. You know, the way that I've seen some companies laying off employees via recorded message in a Zoom or a text message, some inhumane practices are going to bite them when it comes to recovery. The way I kind of see it is people are going to remember what you did as a company during this time. And your employer brand and your reputation as an employer is something that you're desperately going to need when you are ready to recover and we're back in a hiring environment again. And so what we've really been working with clients on doing is not just the development of their EVP and what our positioning is, but really generating stories through this. Stories are, I mean, you're a great storyteller, Lars, and I think you understand the power of storytelling and how it can get people through times like this. And I think when you as a company share not just what you're doing for your employees, but what your employees are doing and the impact they're making for customers right now, for the industry, you know, I know we at Practic Talent are taking a whole different stance to even just how we operate right now. Like, we're not doing any direct outbound sales. It's really just about being a resource to folks and you know, discounting for healthcare companies to help them ramp up when their hospitals are getting hit, giving away you know, some of our free consulting to smaller businesses to help them navigate this and things like that. And so I just feel like you know, I'm a humanist, and companies need to be humanist right now and a little less focused on some of the typical things like profit and capitalist type of principles right now. We really need to be human and do what's best for our employees and you know, our society at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, you raised some great points, and I think that I noticed this, I think, in probably back in mid-March, even late March, maybe even getting to early April, where you could tell some companies were still on autopilot with their employer brand, you know, content and programs. And, you know, you're right. Like, I think a lot of companies, it's hard to, you know, maintain and even enhance your employer brand kind of positioning in this kind of a climate. It's pretty easy to damage it. And I think a lot of companies that were tone deaf were just not recognizing the circumstances that they were in. You know, or at worst, you know, I saw some instances of, you know, campaigns that were, you know, ambulance chasey in method. That's not a term. I just made that up. So we could feel free to make up words as you want, you know, on this show. But yeah, I mean, they were just callous, right? They were disconnected from reality. And I think that, you know, a lot of people are suffering right now. A lot of people are in pain. A lot of people are scared. They're uncertain. You know, there's the way that I think as a society, we're all experiencing this is such an individual thing, right? Based on our own circumstances. Maybe we have underlying health conditions. You know, we've got kids with special needs. We're taking care of elderly parents. You know, financially we're strapped. I mean, there's so many different ways and lenses through which people are experiencing this that I think brands just need to be cognizant of. And really, you know, to me, I think the convergence between employer brand and corporate social responsibility is becoming more clear, right? Like, if you're going to be out there talking to candidates and prospects and doing messaging, it better be about, like, how are you taking care of your employees? How are you taking care of your community? What are you doing to give back? How are you being helpful, right? That's the only content that's going to resonate. Nobody gives a damn about your best place to work. Certainly nobody gives a damn about your office amenities, because no one's going to an office right now. And, you know, we don't really know what that's going to look like. I mean, what, you know, when you think about, and you have a lens where, like, you're both helping companies develop their own campaigns. And I know that through Talent Brand Alliance, and you're just very plugged in, you know, you have a good lens of what's happening. Do any campaigns stand out to you in terms of companies that have really, you know, developed recruitment marketing or employer brand strategies that are very aligned with where we are right now, and that kind of comes through in the initiative? Anything stand out to you?
Yeah, you know, one recently that really stood out to me is what I think it was Domino's is doing with their franchisees, and it was the first where it was just like recorded Zoom meeting, raw thing of these local franchise owners talking about, you know, how they're operating in tying that corporate brand message to the very human and employee experience message of tying it's Domino's employees and franchisee owners themselves talking about how the work that they're doing right now on the front lines is helping keep food on people's tables and that impact. And, you know, I know something that you've talked a lot about in the past too, around, you know, employer brand and corporate brand coming together, right? Like, right now, they've never been more connected, because your consumer brand is going to be judged upon how you're treating employees right now, because employees and employment is at the height of what people are looking at right now when it comes to companies and business operations. So, you know, campaigns like that are really hitting home for me, because it's talking about how they're helping directly right now and tying the mission of their company to this mission that we're all on right now, which is to keep people fed, stop the bleeding in our economy, and beat this virus.
Yeah. And I'm curious too, like from your perspective, like you have this external lens, obviously looking out at the industry and seeing what companies are doing, but you're also a CEO and a founder, and you've got people on payroll. You've got a staff. Like, how are you as a leader? Like, how are you adapting, you know, what your team and what your employees day to day is like? Obviously people are working remote. That's a given. But beyond that, like what have you done to like adapt and adjust, you know, as a leader to kind of understand their, you know, work environment, work circumstances, and, you know, I guess even individually, like how they're all experiencing this.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, right at the beginning of this, we started to practice social distancing early in March before, you know, any lockdowns here, just to be safe. I mean, for the first 3 years or so of our existence, we didn't even have a physical office. We always were 100% remote. So that was an easy call to make. I think, what we've been doing is just making sure to communicate, give resources on how to file for unemployment to our contractors, making employees, assuring them that they've got a guaranteed role for at least the next 90 days or as long as it's financially possible, just over communicating on what we're doing as a company when it comes to applying for PPP or SBA to get through this, just radical empathy and transparency. I mean, I opened up the books to our whole employees and let them know that, and to give them some assurance right now so that they can get past the initial shock of the pandemic, the initial shock of, oh man, this insecurity. I wanted to eliminate that because I need everybody really focused on each day right now. And just, I feel really blessed for the team that we've built. It's amazing. Everybody's jumping in together and helping out the departments that need more help right now, like sales or marketing. Our leadership team have gone above and beyond to help me as a business owner, you know, with reforecasting their areas of the business so that we have at least a goal to reach for right now. It's been really great, about me being supportive to my employees, but how my employees have helped support me as a business owner. And I think all CEOs need to realize that you're no better than the employees that you have at your company. And so we've always had sort of this idea of like, you know, we call ourselves a tribe, and, you know, we've got values like, you know, do what's right, you know, and show your work, right? You know, and I'm seeing across our organization, which spawns people throughout the US and Canada, examples of those values in action. And it just comes from a mutual trust. They know that I'm going to be transparent with them around how things are going, that I'm going to protect them. We say things like, you know, when we're trying to go out, you know, get new client acquisition and hire new employees, we always talk about, you know, our full-time and contractors as this tribe. And you know, we got to keep each other fed. I take as a business owner a personal responsibility. I look at my business and I say, I've got 33 families to feed, right? I take some of that on because I think that's important, and that really shows your and influences the posture and your leadership style. And I've grown as a leader in this last month. It's taught me more empathy. It's taught me to trust other people more.
Yeah, I think that, you know, as a CEO, I can't understand how it wouldn't, right? Like when you're in that situation and like you, obviously you, all of your employees have, you know, have a family, have a story, have needs, have circumstances. Hopefully as a CEO, you know, you were tuned into that before this, but you know, you wouldn't be human if you weren't really more aware and empathetic, I think, to those situations, like during this, like for you. So let's get into like sheltering in place, right? Like you're home, you've got two kids, you've got a wife, you're balancing being a dad, being a husband, being a CEO, being a teacher, being, all the various hats that I think, a lot of us are wearing right now. How do you manage that? Like, what is your life in quarantine look like?
I've been really lucky. My wife is amazing. She's a stay-at-home mom, and I respect so much of what she brings to the table and how hard her job is right now. And I'm helping out best I can, but my initial reaction to being stretched is to dive in. And the first month was just in crisis mode, and it's so hard for me. I'm always looking, forward, like what's the next pivot? So I can help kind of our company navigate things. And I think with that, there's this initial grief that you go through as a business owner, and a little bit more of my story. I've been through this before. I got out of college and I was a mortgage loan officer right before that recession hit, and then rode that and felt that, got laid off multiple times, rebuilt my life, within talent acquisition, and then started this business 5 years ago and built that up. And it seems like here we go again. And so I feel a little battle tested going into this. And I'm naturally a little bit more risk averse, but man, it's been hard. Literally 2 seconds before this went live, my kid was hopping in here. I was like, no, like about to go live. It's been great in the fact that I'm getting more time with my kids, but it's challenging because, we're navigating this crisis and you're working a long day and you're in Zoom meetings all day and you're using your brain and your energy and your emotional, capacity. And then you get off and you got a whole other thing, right? The kids are off their schedules. We're helping them do their schoolwork. Getting them down for bed has been impossible. It's been very difficult finding this new thing, but we started adding a lot of structure in a schedule. My wife's been great about that. And that's really helped us try to finally find sort of a new normal. I'm lucky, but I know that for a lot of my employees, they're not in that same scenario. For most of them, they have kids even younger than mine, at home and no daycare, and both spouses are working. And I pretty much prepared my team by saying, hey, look, I know right now productivity is going to suffer. And I want you to know that is okay. And if you, for most of our folks who both parents are working, we've allowed them to do sort of shifts with their spouse, where maybe the first half of the day they're on kid duty, and the next half of the day their spouse is, and so more like block scheduling of their work. I've also encouraged people to like, hey, if you're feeling burnt out or you just need a day, like take it right now, like that their health, their sanity, their mental health is more important at this moment. All right. And that we're going to lean on each other. And so when one person is having a day, they're just in that coronavirus hell zone, someone's going to jump in and have their back, and then vice versa. So we're already just this, I think, this tribe of, one for all for one, that helps each other in that way. And so that's helped me get through it. Just having that support system in our tribe to have our back, so that we all have a little more flexibility right now.
Yeah. Well, I think that's important. And I think, there is an article, it wasn't new and it was written before this. And if you Google it, you'll find it. I'll have to find a link for it, but it's basically about, somebody's talking about how they started their team meetings every day, by asking their team if they were green, yellow, or red, before they got into anything, just to kind of see like what their
emotion that's what we do
was. Yeah. And just like
we do the same thing in our leadership meeting.
Yeah. I think it's really smart because you're right. Like if you're, if you're red, you're not going to be that additive in that meeting. And it's certainly not going to help you if you're being hounded for answers, because people don't know your emotional state, and where you are. So I think that's a healthy practice, or there's some version of that, just to get a read on where your team is as you're getting started. I do want to bring in one viewer question from Monica Miller. She's a question about like, as your advisor hat, kind of starts to kick in this, in particular, when you think about helping, you know, clients begin to think about what's next. And that's such a hard thing to define because nobody has a clue of like exactly what this will look like. But, you know, if you, you know, you are in a position where you do have to be making some recommendations and some, you know, suggestions around how people might want to adapt their strategy based on, you know, what's next or what we think may be coming next. What's your take on that? Like, what do you, you know, and I'll qualify this before putting you on a spot, like nobody knows what the hell is going to be. So we're all making best guesses, but like, as you're making your most informed best guess, how do you see this unfolding over the next, you know, really the next couple quarters?
Yeah, I think recovery is going to be slower than we'd like to think. I think a lot of the things that are being pushed up by our government are some band-aids. Let's be honest, giving small businesses 2.5 months of payroll relief through PPP almost assumes that this is sort of like a pause, right? But when, you know, you saw this with restaurants, they get hit immediately, right? You know, because most of those small businesses, they're month-to-month businesses. You know, we get a little bit bigger small businesses like ours, it's really by quarter. Anything that I'm selling and doing this quarter, I'm realizing the revenue from that through A&R the next quarter, right? And so businesses move at various speeds. But when you have disruption like this, where the economy is literally at a halt for a few months for the lockdowns and social distancing, that is something that takes years to recover from. And so, but that's not all the case for every industry. So the thing that we've really been focused on is making sure that, you know, that companies are retooling and preparing that we are going to be in a recovery. This will not last forever. We've got tons of historical evidence to show of how pandemics have changed work in the past and how we got out of them and how our economy recovered. It is proven that the companies that stopped advertising their product or advertising themselves as an employer versus the ones that kind of proactively use this time to retool, rebuild, to optimize, to start becoming the company they want to be during this slow time, we're better positioned during a recovery, like across the board. And so really the way that we're helping our clients understand is they'll come back to them and say, hey, look, we'll call you about building that employer brand once our hiring goes back up again. And I kind of go, well, that will be too late. It takes at least 2 to 3 months to do an audit and do the strategy and then ready to be to start executing on those campaigns and making things happen. So now's actually the time to do some of those things and to be proactive about your business and prepare. I think we should be optimistic. You know, there's something that's powerful about humanity, and it's that being optimistic and putting things in motion and just in doing makes things happen, right? I think we can't at this point just sit down and be like, well, we're just going to have to wait until things get better. No, we need to be active in our businesses, active in our communities to make recovery happen and be proactive so that you're ready when that time comes.
Yeah. No, that's great advice. And we're almost up on time. I want to squeeze in one more quick question from Tammy Bailey, who's watching us on Facebook. And she had a question about how is this going to impact the kind of format and structure for Talent Brand Alliance for the event and the conference this year?
Yeah. So we're working with our vendor, our venue and some other people right now, but you really, this doesn't change a lot for Talent Brand Alliance. At our core, we're an online community for talent attraction professionals, right? For talent brand professionals. And as you can see by the weekly member calls that we've been doing over these last few weeks since this last month, you know, online format's working great for these discussions. We've got Zoom webinar where we can do breakout rooms. We've got we're actually launching our new community platform so that it's not just on Facebook anymore, that our true global community can all participate, where we'll be able to have a breakout discussions by industry, do virtual events, and membership calls all through that platform. There's going to be a member directory so people can chat one-on-one. So there's a lot of things that we had already had in motion that are going to make that transition a lot easier. So you'll probably see less in-person physical events, right? Just across the board as an industry, but that was always just a secondary. It was just, you know, an in real life extension of the community that is thriving and exists and that everyone leverages every day.
Cool. Well, thanks for that. And thanks for sharing, you know, all of what you're seeing, you're learning, you're experiencing. And I think your advice is definitely important for people, especially in the field of employer brand and recruiting, to take to heart, particularly around planning and having things in motion for when we do come out of this. Because if you just lock everything down, you can't just flip the switch. It takes time to build things back up. So I think that's a really important point to reinforce. And before I let you go, I want to close out with the closing bit on the show, which is one good thing. So I want to turn it over to you. I'm going to give you the floor to close this out. What is one good thing in your world from last week?
I think that have to be, it is about last week, maybe week and a half ago, but my son's 7th birthday was a huge win. We were really worried about it. But my wife planned this amazing virtual party, literally pulled out every decoration from every birthday party he's ever had. He woke up and saw it and was just so surprised. And then we did this like scavenger hunt. He likes being the center of attention. Definitely my son. And he, he just loved being the star of the show. And he did this obstacle course for his friends and they're all cheering him on. And he did this, found these clues to find his gift. And he was just so overwhelmed and so happy that he cried. And he had this moment of just where he's just overwhelmed. And that as a parent to do that in these times where they're stuck in the house every day, it's hard to keep them. It's hard to surprise your kids for a birthday right now. To be able to pull that off for me and my wife was just, we needed that. We needed just to see our kids with joy and seeing their friends and their family and feeling loved because it's stressful times right now.
That's amazing. And I appreciate you sharing that. And it's interesting. I think if I look back on all these one good things, I'd say half of them from the guests so far have to do with our kids, which I get. So I think that, you and I are both eternal optimists. I think we have to look for silver linings and the good in things. And, as difficult as this situation is, for those of us that have the privilege to be able to shelter in place, being able to use that time to spend time with our kids. And that's not always easy. Sometimes it makes it really difficult. But having those moments and being able to, try to bring normalcy to them as best you can is great. So I'm glad you had that.
Yeah. And hey, and thanks for everything that you do, Lars. I mean, with HROS, with what you've done with helping create resources and crowdsource resources for everybody to navigate this is just amazing. I love what you do for this industry. And I don't know if many of your viewers know that it's not just these outward things that you do or how you contribute on Fast Company and Forbes. Like when I started my business 5 years ago, you guys may not know that Lars sat down with me and like coached me, helped me understand, because he was a few years ahead of me of how to do this. And I'm eternally grateful for that. And so I just want people to know that this isn't just something you do over an industry that you, with your personal friends, with your professional network, that you give a lot more than you take. And I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah. Well, no, that's kind of you to say, and you're wired the same way. So, I could say that right back to you. So, definitely appreciate it. And I think that, it's been great to see how so many people in the industry have really, stepped up, I've really kind of prioritized the good of the industry and their peers and their colleagues and the space, at sometimes even ahead of their own good. And so I think, we're going to get through this. And I think it's steps like that and decisions like that that'll help us get there. So, well, thanks so much, man. I appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you sharing your journey. For folks that want to learn more about Will, go to proactivetalent.com. You're going to find tons of stuff there. Will is not a difficult guy to, learn about online. So Spend some time there. You'll find a lot. I definitely recommend checking out Talent Brand Alliance as well. If you're an employer brand field, that is the space you want to be in, and you're going to learn a lot and spend a lot of time learning from your peers in the space. So That's a wrap for today's episode. We're going to be back tomorrow, same time, noon Eastern. Tomorrow's guest is Kelly Keegan. She is the VP of People for Built In. And we're going to talk a lot about that role and what she's seeing, overseeing HR and people during these times. So thanks so much for tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow. Take care, everyone. Stay safe.
Bye. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this episode of 21st Century HR. If you want to hear more episodes like this or read stories from the 21st Century HR Fast Company series, go to 21stcenturyhr.com. And if you want to make your podcast just a little more awesome, be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, or whatever podcast platform your ears desire. You'll find all the subscribe links on the website. And if you enjoy the podcast, do me a favor and share it with your peers, your network, your boss, and your CEO. Help me get the podcast into the ears of anyone who wants to know what HR and recruiting looks like when done really well. They'll thank you for it, and so will I. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next episode.